Hey everybody, it's CJ Elliott with the Regular Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about my adventures in California. I just got back a couple of days ago, and I think it's a good time to put this podcast together. I went and visited a couple of Army buddies, mainly William Griffin, who let me stay in his pad, and it was really nice. And we met Paul Neely, another Army buddy. We got together and we discussed about our adventures in the Army and deploying together and all the dangers and all the fun that we had. Well, not that much fun, but it's three different podcasts. I'm going to try and throw them together for you. The main one we did with Paul, just talking about our experiences overseas, and then I did two more with Will, and I'm going to just try and compose one big podcast with all the information I got. So I hope you enjoy, and here it is, my first podcast, the Regular Podcast with CJ Elliott.
I call it John. John had to drive out there to get me. Drive like 2 hours to go find me. It's like, oh man. It was like 3 a.m. It's
like, dude. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. I'm CJ Elliott. I'm visiting my pal here, Willie G. Griffin.
Yes.
And Paul.
What's that?
Paul Neely. We were all in the military together.
Oh man.
We went to Iraq together. Wow. For our country for how long was it? 15 months or something wild like that?
First one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they changed it halfway through.
Yeah, but I was there like 14 months almost.
Yeah. So how about we start with Will, since Paul just got up and left. Why did you decide to join the military?
Because I was poor.
Broke?
I was a poor peasant of the United States of America.
Like, that's everyone's story.
Yeah.
I was working... I graduated college and I went to... Or no, I graduated high school and I went to college for 1 year. And that didn't really work out too well. So then I moved to Hilton Head, or Beaufort, started working on Hilton Head, doing construction work, roofing and framing. Mm. And then I got hurt on the job. I got a nail stuck in my foot.
Ouch.
And it made me think that if I was busting my ass working this hard for, like, what, $400 a week, then maybe I should join the military.
Try to be all you
can
be.
Benefits. And still get paid $400 a week.
Did you see a certain recruiter, or
huh?
Was there a certain recruiter that got your interest, or what?
No, I just went to the recruiter's office, and my dad.
Right in and,
my dad.
Oh,
was
your dad was a big.
My
interest.
Dad's a retired first sergeant, and he insisted on going in with me. He just went in the first time, and basically he just told the staff sergeant Clark, the black dude. He was a air traffic controller, but he was a recruiter, and he just told him to, you know, do me straight. And then I had to lose weight and quit smoking weed, and then he knew I was smoking weed, so I had to keep taking piss tests in the recruiter's office and study for the ASVAB and then do PT with him.
So it was your dad kind of on your butt to get all that, or was
he
it
was
you
just
more
excited? He was just happy I was joining the Army because he was retired.
Mm-hmm.
My mom wanted me to join the Air Force
because
she did 5 years in the Army as well, and
she knew how it was.
Ridiculous it was.
Yeah, compared to the Air Force, you're just staring at the fucking base right next to it, like, good food.
Everyone has smiles on their faces.
I know. They're like, hey, Air Force.
Well, they didn't have a PT uniform until, like, halfway in, like, we were in.
Yeah.
They just went to, like, PT and, like, basketball shorts.
It's a cherry on
like,
top.
Like, t-shirts. Before they came out, with like...
Why did you join, Paul?
I lived in my best friend's, like, garage attic area.
Mm-hmm. In Michigan?
Yeah. I wasn't really doing anything.
In high school or after high school?
After high school.
Hmm.
I'm like, my best friend joined. Like, we didn't join together, but I went in, like, after her. Like, halfway through, like, basic training, she sent me a letter from home saying she, like, quit and, like, got out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you fucking bitch. Like, now I have to go through this all by myself.
Wow. That's why.
Yeah. So you just...
Did you go to a recruiter when...
Yeah, I went to the same recruiter she did.
Yeah.
She was pretty much like my only friend in high school, and I was just hanging out with her all the time. She.
What made you pick a mechanic?
Yeah, it was
job.
63 Bravo. What made you?
I took 2 years of like a vocational school and high school to be like auto class. So instead of like going to like my high school in the morning, I went to a separate one. It was like attached to a college.
Were you actually interested in?
I was.
Yeah, yeah, that's no way.
Went worked there. Then that was probably like my first, second, third, and fourth hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would go back to my high school and I would take three other classes to like do like science, math, whatever the ones that are like required to get a degree or a diploma.
Cool.
And then I had a co-op job in my senior year where I went to the vocational school in the morning, went to my high school for 1 hour, then went and worked at Bell Tire as we came when I was in school.
Now, what was that when we joined? There was the thing before boot camp that you had to stay for a week.
MEPS.
MEPS.
Military yeah. in process. No.
Well, I was in the depth.
Military were something in process.
Delayed entry program. Yeah. I wasn't in that.
You just went straight in?
Yeah. Well, by a recruiter, and then he took me to the place to the tests.
See, I had to go into it because when I signed up, I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wait until after my 18th birthday before.
Yeah, I was already 18, so.
My mom was pissed because I already moved out of the house, and I couldn't sign up unless she, like, signed off because I was still a minor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, Mom, what time are you gonna be like home from work? She's like, why? It's like I'm bringing a recruiter over, and you have to sign these papers.
I'm going to war, Mom. Yeah. I'm going to fucking war.
This is like probably maybe like 3 months after I moved out of her house because we got in like a huge fight. I was like, I'm taking like a day off of work to hang out with my friends. She's like, oh, you're like irresponsible. She's like, you're grounded. It's like, I'm not grounded if I don't live here. So I left. Moved into like my buddy's attic garage.
Fuck yeah.
Almost died in the winter. Freezing out there and I had a little heater. It wasn't like insulated or anything.
What'd you think about deployment? Your initial thoughts?
I didn't mind it.
Like, before we were even going, like, you get told... I mean,
you didn't mind it?
I didn't mind it.
I'll live there.
I liked it. Yeah. I didn't have, like, any...
Oh, fuck off.
Were you scared at all when they're like, you're going to Iraq?
I was scared the day we left, because I was just worried I'd never come home.
Yeah. I think everyone had that thought. Yeah. Like, I might not come home. That kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, it didn't hit me until I packed all my stuff into a box and had to take it to Frankini's basement.
Yeah, we all did. That's where I did my stuff, too.
Had to go fill out a living will and a will.
Yeah, some creepy stuff.
All done with
my parents were at our last formation.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
She drove by. She's like, William, hurry up, get in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. They drove on.
And then the plane rides over there.
You know what's funny?
I don't remember too much.
The day we got in there. Today we got there, it was stupid of me. That's when Fox jumped out of like my wall locker. When I was in my room with, I don't know, forgot her name. We watched a movie.
Oh yeah, you told me about
that. And she jumps out of
that.
My wall locker after like halfway through the movie. So she was probably in there for like 40 minutes, just like watching us.
This was when we were in.
Before we deployed, before like the week before.
Okay.
So like the night before we deployed.
You're gonna get raped.
She's like in my room like crying.
Crying.
And I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, everybody has their own problems right now. Don't come here with yours. It's been total dick, dude. It's just like...
You remember the first day landing there? I remember being like a chopper and the lights
were... Oh, dude, the chopper, yeah.
It was that
scariest
night?
Crap ever.
Everyone's fighting, like... Everyone's like, we're gonna unload the bags. Everyone's like, hurry up, get shot at.
And this was it? The whole time it's gonna be like this?
Yeah, exactly. This is dead.
Because I didn't know what to expect.
Dude, I remember, like, even before we left, Sergeant Horton... He was like, all right, guys, listen. It's not like going to be like you're going to get off the plane and people are going to be shooting at you. Like, because that's what we were thinking.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
you're
going to fly into like fucking RPG
well,
shooting at us.
After we flew in on like a Boeing 747 with like luxury. Yeah. They were all piling into these like Chinooks.
Flight attendants.
Flying at night and everyone's like, we can only fly in at night because they like shoot at us.
Oh, yeah.
There's good welcoming for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole time we're in the country for the first day. I don't even know what the landscape looks like. It's just dark. I have no idea where I'm at.
I know. You have no sense of location whatsoever.
I still don't exactly know where we're at. You can't just go my
I know.
What about the rocket attacks? Like, when was the first? Do you remember
the first one? Was a controlled jet. That scared the shit out of everyone in the middle of the day.
I remember the one
where checking out
the got hit.
Yeah, and then Hunt went running.
It's like...
Like, I'll save the day.
That dude.
What got hit, though?
Where the workers...
Oh, where they live?
Yeah, it got hit.
That was... Took I thought like, that was, like, that was 9 months
one.
In.
That was the first one I remember.
And, like, there was a fire. Like, they...
A bunch of them got hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, like, the first one?
Yeah.
That
this was a rocket for... Like, describe what a rocket and, like, what it is and how... What it just... Describe what it took out that day, like a whole...
I don't understand how the rockets work. I know the mortars work.
Yeah.
Well, mortars go up and then come down.
Well, the mortars go off with the gunpowder that's in the shell.
Yeah.
Rockets go off with, like...
Oh, they have like a propel. Yeah.
The rockets do more damage, don't they?
Because they go faster.
Yeah.
And they can put bigger, like, explosives.
And it landed where all those people were living or working?
Living.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, one of them got hurt.
Yeah.
It was behind...
Did anyone die from that?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't remember.
If there was, there's only like one or two.
I know people got hurt, but maybe.
I know someone's eye was hanging out.
That's eyeball hanging out. I heard about that.
Hold on. How many times would you describe that we got mortared? Because I asked Melissa. Well, actually, I asked our horn
like
first time.
Day.
I told him, I was like, we probably got mortared about 40% of the time. I'll say 40, just to be conservative.
Yeah.
And he was like, whoa, dude.
I mean,
he's like, you
more,
need to go a lot higher than that.
More,
and then Melissa says when she, Rowan Nugget, the alpha truck driver, she was saying, she's in college now down here in San Diego, she was saying that she describes the people. She says, well, she's like, the least we got hit every week was 2 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's a good week, though.
Yeah, that's more times than I even can count.
So, like, remember. You would say over 50%? There's more times.
A lot. I mean, if it was like 27, 28, I could remember that, but it was way higher than that.
Most of the time, you'd be sleeping in your bed, and you just hear either the mortars themselves or just loud, loud sirens waking you up, and you'd have to go running as fast as you could to a bunker.
See, and you had to wait in the bunker. Didn't work at all, because by the time it came in, like 5 minutes later, they would turn on the sirens.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Or they would turn on sirens, and nothing would happen.
But we had to wait in the bunker for until everyone was accounted for on the
horn. We got so used to waiting in those bunkers, we'd be having bunker parties, playing games in the bunkers, just waiting for mortars to come in because
we
were expecting them.
I remember one time, is when a C-130 came in at night and like flew right over the base, like super low because it was like going down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like me, because we were in Cantu's room, we were all playing like Halo. And it just, like, gets louder and louder and louder, and I just kept thinking, this is, like, 50 rockets that are coming in at once.
Yeah.
Like, we, like, kicked the door open, like, running. Didn't bother to grab nothing. I stepped, like, on a piece of metal that, like, went through my foot. Didn't feel it till like, 10 minutes later after, like, we figured out it was a plane that came over. Even Ansdale, we were running, and he just, like, stopped.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this
what
is
the
it.
Fuck? You were done.
Yeah,
we're
I mean,
done.
It was
there's
so
nothing
loud. I thought like that was it. Like there's nothing.
And you actually got used to them after a while.
Yeah.
We'd sit in our beds and be like, I don't even care anymore. There's so many of them. If it hits me, it hits me. I just want to sleep, which is pretty crazy to think about.
But I think it was the enemy's tactic to just, you know, shoot mortars between 11 and 2 a.m. to keep us awake and fuck with our sleeping patterns.
Yeah.
So we're all just fucking make life as miserable as possible, even though they can't take us out. They'll still try to make life as miserable as possible by shooting a mortar. They probably know our whole fucking protocol and procedure.
Oh yeah, they were dumb.
Yeah. But I mean, they definitely didn't have anything like pinpointed.
Yeah.
Like, everything they shot at was like wild.
Yeah. It was so bad that we had, what was the shit called when we had to turn the lights off at night? All
blackouts?
Lights?
Blackouts, where they had to turn off the internet and phone. And...
Well, that's River City.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
River
you
City.
Can't keep your door open with the light on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
black.
I mean,
okay.
There's a term for it. I forgot, dude. It's been so long.
Wasn't
so,
blackout?
Yeah.
It was like a light out policy or some shit like like, people would say it to each other real quick if they saw the light on or something.
That wasn't was blackout?
They wouldn't say blackout.
No.
It was
that's
something
I
else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
dude,
like,
something
that's a
else.
General term for...
Dude, but I remember, dude. Okay, so it's so dark. This is how I describe each other. So remember where we lived and remember where our CP was, our company CP command post?
Mm-hmm.
How far do you think that was? Like, a half mile at least?
Yeah.
Okay, so
let's
say a half
there,
mile.
Go left and then go right again.
Let's say a half mile. Well, me and Kaufman, and I don't know, I think it was you, we're playing with glow sticks at night. We're just throwing them over T-barriers to each other and fucking just watching them. This is the coolest thing. They're so fucking bright.
Yeah.
So bright that we're doing it for so long. Sergeant Staley walks through the fucking cans, dude. Sergeant Staley comes out of nowhere, our platoon sergeant. He's like, "Hey, what the hell are you doing?" He's like, "We could see that at the CP." I was like, "What?" He's like, "You're fucking letting, you're just letting the enemy know where we're sleeping."
Over here, over here.
They're probably like, "Oh, over there tonight, over there." But there's a bunch of lights flying around. That shit was funny, dude. But yeah, that's how dark it was.
You were a part of the recovery, right, Paul?
Yeah.
Can you explain what that was?
The action crew.
Something got blown up. We went to go get it.
Right.
How?
With a big ass truck.
An airplane?
It'd probably be safer. Come in, take it up and leave.
Whoop.
So what's some crazy shit you seen out there?
So hold on,
a lot more than we did.
So on every time a military leaves the wire, the fobs, they go in convoys. Military vehicles of, I don't know, what, half a dozen at least?
Yeah.
If not more. And then every convoy has one wrecker, which is basically a tow truck for the military. And that's what Paul was, so he went on the road a lot and saw a lot of action.
Yep, he's got the inside scoop. I just worked on trucks.
He hung out, he was chasing Osama one time.
Yeah.
Dude, we were out on the road when they hung Saddam Hussein.
Oh, really?
Like, how fucked up is that? I was so fucking pissed.
Yeah, we were over there. Yeah, I remember. Because Corey told me about that. He's like, "Yeah, hey, just found him in a hole."
Yeah,
I was like, "What?"
They gotta believe him. He's like in this little like box.
I know. That's what I picture. Like a PFC. Like, "Hey, sergeant, I found him."
So no crazy stories. You just. Wrecker guy.
So what's the craziest? Can you name one, the one craziest thing?
You ever thought you're gonna die while you're out there? Nothing that bad.
Yeah.
Never like, oh fuck.
Well, every time you leave.
Yeah. How was that? How's the mentality? Like every mission, I'm sure it was different. I'm
ready to fuck shit up.
Well, I mean, after a while, it's just like the mortars. You just kind of like give up.
Yeah, and just oh, another mission. I'm gonna do this.
That might
start
kill
the truck
next to me,
but I bet it's also like. Man, I hope we can hurry up and get there so I can catch some more sleep.
Yeah, well, they always change the speeds. Well, first, they want to get there as fast as they could.
Yeah.
So we do, like, 45, 50.
Yeah.
But then it was like, we're going too fast, we can't see IEDs, so now we're going 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like, through cities. And people are walking between, like, the vehicles. Everyone's got a gun over there, too. You can't, exactly just tell, this dude is, like, doing some shady stuff.
And then the kid pulls out a bomb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why
then runs away.
That's why they lock the doors from the inside. Because people just open the door, throw a grenade in there, and shut it.
Yeah.
That's what they
that
lock from the inside.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, those locks at the bottom. Oh, I fixed a million of those locks. I never knew what it was for.
They always break.
Dude, whenever I was in Saudi Arabia, we were driving to the border forts. I was like, I mean, it's just desert. Like, that's where the desert is, like sand dunes. Just sand. All you can see is sand. And there's no roads,
there's
so our
no
GPS,
roads,
we have, like, coordinates where they're at, but there's no roads, so we drive this way for, like, 3 hours.
You don't have to watch out?
I don't drive, there's nothing out there.
You don't have to watch out for, like, potholes, or...
There's no, it's not a road.
It's just flat, everything's just flat.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's, like...
There's no quicksand out there?
Yeah, we had to get a fueler got stuck.
In a quicksand?
Well, I don't think it was quicksand, but it was
soft
sand.
But it's
just,
like, soft sand stuff.
Just, I have a video of it.
I remember at Easy Company's, it was like a civilian bus or whatever, but we took civilian buses to the range when we first got there.
Yeah,
or was it in Kuwait?
It's Kuwait.
Yeah, their bus got stuck. Shit was funny, dude.
It was like Kuwait, but with no roads. I mean, there's nobody lives out there. So you'll have like a couple...
Hottest balls out there, too. Those hottest places
I've
ever been, all right?
I like the heat.
Yeah, it was like 140, probably the hottest, all that
well,
gear.
Well, I mean... Growing up in Michigan, even when I got out, that's why I drove to Florida. I would drive to where the sun is.
I would explain to people how hot it is. It's like, okay.
I would look on the map and see where the high temperature is for the day, and I would drive all the way down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Especially being in Alaska, freezing cold, having to stand outside and do nothing.
People who haven't been in heat like that, I would tell them, like, think about it in the hottest place you've ever been. And then usually you stop and you feel the breeze to cool you down. Mm. The breeze is actually hotter.
Do you have like sweat running down your pinky like a squirt gun? Like you just flick it up and like sweat's just flying.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dry heat though, so it wasn't like humidity like Michigan in the summer.
Yeah.
Like, you walk outside, it's just like sweat.
Remember the Hajis?
Yeah.
Is that what we'd call them?
Well, after a while,
did
I had
get
to
get shot at.
With a bullet, though. Not
it's
orders.
Hard to tell. I mean, if they like see something, they'll like start shooting at it. But it's not like I'm gonna get out and start shooting too. There's no turret in my truck.
Well, yeah, I'd stick that M4 out the window. That dirty ass M4 you ain't cleaning on.
No, I just saw.
Oh yeah, I remember
that thing. Yeah, saw it too, didn't you?
Yeah, for a little while.
2 step forward.
Not for
oh
long.
God, that thing.
Don't you miss that thing?
Yeah,
did
I
have a name for it?
No.
Like Betty Crocker.
I was a Haji guard for most of the deployment. That was a fun job.
Oh, TCN!
Like tower duty.
What does TCN...
Were you on the QRF too?
Yeah, for a little bit.
What does TCN do?
That's the thing too, dude. If you join the Army, you're not doing what you signed up for.
Yeah, I didn't work on any trucks. I ranked, really. I was sat in the tower, guarded local nationals.
Master janitors.
That's so funny. When I'm at work, and we have to like clean the stock rooms, I'm like, you guys want to join the Army? It's a good way to start. Sweeping shit up.
Really,
on the floor.
You'll be a great sweeper by the time you get out.
I
can sweep you a floor.
Better than anybody else.
White glove inspection.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's never good enough until someone says to the higher power it's good enough, so just keep doing it and doing it.
Yeah. I remember Elliot would point his weapon at Haji's telling him they need to pick up their bags or whatever detail they're doing.
Play
hey,
your
you!
Part.
Over here.
Can't let them know.
So you got hands. Point with your hands, dude. Not the fucking barrel.
Good thing you have a pistol.
Or what?
Or waving it around.
Or who had the video? Was it? Maybe it was Eric or Frank Kinney. A video of you playing soccer with the Hodges.
Yeah, you like pushed him.
You were pushing him.
Yeah, I
like,
it.
Give me the ball.
I had that video. But I have all
you
those
got
videos,
it.
Dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you, were you on TCN or don't? You were a wrecker.
Yeah.
I was on TCN for a good... Two months?
I got a little too friendly with them. They were friendly with me back.
No, they were cool. They were your buds, dude.
Yeah. Sound like I was, I'm going to beat your butt.
Elliot, crazy friend.
We'd have nothing to do, so we'd just go in the middle of nowhere and play soccer, wrestle each other, and they're just cool, most of them. Yeah, we had weapons. That's really weird having a loaded weapon at all times on you. It'd drive you a little crazy.
Did you ever give a Gatorade to a kid?
Yeah.
In Iraq? When?
Dude, I used to...
the local nationals.
For a while, when I
like
came back...
Like the TCN?
Yeah.
There's no kids there, though. Where are
they? Well, they look like
younger
kids.
Ones.
There's ones that are like 14.
There's some... Well, yeah. I
get... To get their dollar a
dude,
day.
I had
whatever.
To do that for a while after I came back from leave.
Yeah.
To stay off the road for a while. So I had to do that. I was with these guys, and they built the platforms for the new motor pools for the new unit that was coming in.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I used to buy those guys things all the time from, like, the PX.
Yeah, they're nice.
Dude, I know, like...
They had good food, some of them.
Yeah, they would give me, like, their bread and their... Whatever that, like, butter is that they use.
Yeah.
For the bread.
Probably shouldn't eat it, but
good.
It did anyway. It tasted okay.
Yeah.
I know the kids were so happy to get Gatorades and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw this YouTube video, this guy was like, you want Gatorade? Kid's like, yeah! He sticks his hand out and he puts a live. He's like,
grenade,
live
yeah.
grenade. And the kid's like, no!
Yeah. Yeah, I used to buy. Well, because they would work at the rebar. Because they had the rebar down before they put the cement.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing it with their hands, dude. Their hands were just like tore up. So, plus, it's like 120 outside. That metal's like boiling hot.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like, you guys don't have, like, gloves?
They stated how smelly they were and how they would poop all over the porta-johns.
Yeah, it took me a long time to figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, who the fuck's coming in here just, like,
yeah, what kind of a-hole?
Footprints all over the toilet
seat.
I got
the prank the first time.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
There's the one right outside the motor pool.
Yeah, then you'll catch
like,
one of them, like,
squatting
on top of it.
But
you always notice it right. You always notice it right when you gotta go shit too.
Yeah. But they don't use toilet paper. They use your hand to wipe.
And they'll shake your hand later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would ask a couple of DCN guys. Like I remember one guy's like 16, 17, or 18 or whatever.
Make sure you wear gloves.
I was like, dude. I was like, you wash your hands with your fucking hand, don't you? And water. He's like, oh no. That's why I come work on the fob. Use toilet paper.
Seriously.
So Griff, how about that 8-month hump? We already talked about rocks earlier, but we got so used to everything that we didn't care about anything happening after about.
Yeah,
months.
I remember. Dude, remember when? So we got so used to mortars coming in, that which is grab her. You're supposed to have your weapons on you at all times. That's the like law number one while being deployed is have your weapon on you at all times. And like after a while, we would just we would leave our weapons in a room, grab
it's dumb
because the first thing we need to grab is our cigarettes. We'll be sitting in the fucking bunkers for an hour.
It's gonna take some time.
Yeah, I would be like walking back, like, oh, got my cigarettes. It's like, honestly,
where's your weapon?
If you were coming in the middle of the night, what is your like gun, your weapon gonna do?
Yeah.
It's not like they're gonna like shoot us and then overrun us.
Corey actually ran into a bunker naked with just his soap and towel.
I thought that was Lucero.
Dude, oh, that was... Corey. Oh, I didn't see it. I heard about it. It was so funny.
Was it Corey? I thought it
was
Lucero.
Yeah,
cool.
Corey told me he did it. Yeah.
All he had was a little...
Noter did it once, too, but he had a towel.
A loofah.
Yeah, that's gotta be embarrassing. Like, hey,
covering his balls.
Not really.
He probably wanted to do it. Hey, guys, check me out. I'm naked. Fuck you guys. No uniform.
So about the defect in Iraq was actually surprisingly super delicious.
I missed that.
It was massive and had anything you wanted on top of any kind of like cookies and ice cream, anything. So it's for a fat kid, the defect. I don't even know, but it was awesome.
I was telling CJ earlier that I had a friend. He actually has no legs now. He got blown off in Iraq in his second deployment. But his first deployment, he remembers Iraq, and he asked me where I was stationed. I told him Bobcat Sioux, and he was like, "Oh man!" He's like, "That defect's awesome."
Yeah. And they had steak and lobster on like Fridays.
They had an ice cream line, a taco line,
yeah,
Indian line,
salad bar,
certain
fruit bar,
pretty much an all-you-can-eat buffet. Anything you wanted, they had burgers every night.
Oh, the short
boxes,
dude. And the defect was air conditioned.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You just want to go there to hang out.
Oh, dude, but I hated when they did that whole.
It was spacious too. Not everything was like.
They got hit by a rocket once.
Crammed
didn't
in this like little narrow walkway.
Yeah, that's
no. How long did we have to fill up sandbags?
Oh yeah, forgot about
every,
that.
Before
I
we had to fill up one
to
sandbag
in.
Before every meal.
Oh yeah.
But how long was that? Like 2 months?
Yeah, that was
a couple of months.
Well, they did it once, maybe? And then they kept doing it like more often.
Every often, yeah, to be like, oh man,
well,
pretend to fill a sandbag.
Someone's
got to
do it,
dude. I remember when the defect got hit. Me and King. We just got off.
Dude, I just left there, too, because I seen Sean.
Oh, you
like,
weren't there.
Up, dude? I was on... No, I was leaving to go on a mission.
Wasn't Sean in there?
Yeah, he was going
Sean
in,
was in there
and I was coming
car,
out,
Shirley?
And I was like... It was Shirley Lyon, or Lyon. From Charlie Company, the medic.
Big guy.
Yeah.
I think he got a dishonorable.
Was Gone in there?
Probably.
I think Gone was in there. And
dude, no, King and I, we had a 24-hour... CQ shift at the battalion CP, and we just got done, so we went to the rooms and we're getting ready to go eat breakfast so we can go to bed. But before we went, he was like, "Hey, let's go take. I gotta go take a shit." So we went, took like a 2 or 3 minute shit, and we started walking. And then he was talking, and then I heard.
Oh, man.
And I was like, "You hear that?" And he was like, "Yeah." So we just keep walking again. He starts talking again. Then I hear another one that's super fucking loud. Or, I don't know, it might have been the same one. And I was like, you hear that? And he's like, yeah. He starts walking. Then all of a sudden I hear, like, another one. And it gets super fucking
loud.
And I just turn around. I just turn around and go in the bunker that we just passed, dude. And then I jumped in. As soon as I jumped in, I turn around and stick my head to see if he's coming. Then as soon as I do, he's, like, right behind me, dude, coming in, dude. And all of a sudden we hear boom, dude. Like, and then that was the bunker that was, like, pretty much closest to... The defect,
yeah,
but that was on the end of the cans, where the cans
ended. Yeah, see, I was on the opposite side, walking towards the motor pole. And this is when they were putting the chaplain up right across from the motor pole. Or not the motor pole, but the defect. Like, there's the main entrance, and directly behind it was where the chaplain was being built. But they only had, like, two of the 12-foot sections up. And I was walking past it, and it hit. And I was, like, hiding behind it, like, against the wall. Trying to get as close as I could to it, because they were, like, hitting on the other side of the wall with a defag. It's like, man, I dropped my food. Just dropped everything. Just started running. It's like, man, I can't go get more food because it's all blown up.
And a couple of people got their cabs for that. Their unit.
Yeah, I think so.
Car and all that.
I never got one. You got one, right? You got a cab?
Remember.
Cab?
I burned everything. I don't have any, like, awards.
Did you ever leave the wire?
I don't think so.
You left in Afghanistan a few times, didn't you?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. I stay on the base. What do they call
a
Fobbit? kid.
Poppet.
It was nice too.
You're a leaf eater.
I was always in a tower, garden, a hodge, you're doing something, never really working on a tribe.
Afghanistan was nice only because our bedrooms were bunkers. So they're like, oh, we're under attack, stay in bed.
Stay in bed, everybody.
That's all it was. No problem. Dwania.
Oh, you had to do that there? Yeah. Oh, because you had, like, thick-ass rooms.
Like, dude, those are like fortresses.
Saddam Hussein's palace.
No, that was Rio. Dwania is... One of the guys from our battalion died.
Lanteri, or...
No, Lanteri got squished.
The Jag guy?
Yeah. No, that was Phelps.
Yeah, Phelps.
He got died going to Ishkan.
There's another easy company guy named Fontenelle.
He was an E7.
And a staff sergeant.
He was like E7 something. Staff Sergeant Thomas. Or Thompson or something.
He's the one who... There's...
He was in... What's it? He was something in Alpha Company. But he was in, like, battalion.
You know what's crazy, dude? Melissa was, well, I was talking to her last time, she was talking about how she talks about in today's world, when she says he's a veteran, how she tries to explain the brainwashing that we're in while we're in the Army. And one example she uses is when, I think there's only one guy in Alpha Company that shot an Afghan, or an Iraqi, and it was on Iraq, because they're on the trip, and he actually shot one, dude, and killed one. And the mentality behind that was the whole convoy was jealous that they weren't the one to shoot this dude. Because that's how brainwashed we were, like, I mean, we're out there, like, risking your lives. So you're kind of, like, in the killing mode.
Bunch of retards. Like, seriously, that was
the worst. Throwing the R word out there.
Like, dang. Every weekend it was one of them getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Who's got to come back?
Yeah, they always pissed off for drugs.
Someone's banging their lieutenant. Just leave me alone. That's what I hated the worst, was getting in trouble for other people's shit.
Oh, mass punishment.
Wasn't even in our company.
You're getting yelled at for nothing, no matter what.
Were you in the clamshells?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the clamshells?
Yeah.
When I saw
it. That was the worst. One of the worst smokings.
What do you guys remember from that? Like, let me get your experience from your side.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because everyone, because I wasn't in bad shape.
You want to explain what happened?
Well, Willie Geo.
You gotta explain the clamshells, because how bad.
You're like, I lost my room key.
Maybe you should.
He's like, nope.
I don't know how much of the story you want to go into here.
I don't care.
You can go ahead. It's your story.
All right, this is what I remember.
All
right. And I remember the few. Okay,
I
so.
Have pictures from
we had to do. We had to do an FTX, like a 2-week FTX, and these three. Clamshells, which are these warehouses.
Like, going to go camping here with the whole team.
Yeah, basically. This is camp somewhere. Yeah, and we're doing pretend military exercise, fake military exercises. Yeah. It's just training. They're still just wasting time. Our time. Anyways, we live in these huge warehouses that we call clamshells. And inside these warehouses, the floor is nothing but these little rocks covered by this tiny little dust that if you stomp, there's just clouds of dust every fucking way. You have to understand this. So anyways, so we're in the... Oh, yeah. And for like 2 or 3 days, we're waiting for piss tests to come back. Mm-hmm. And we have a buddy that heard that the test results came back and everybody came back clean.
Yeah, it's like a rumor coming around.
And oh, yeah. Out. And like, yeah, by the way, 80% of our company was doing something somewhere sometime. It was great. We're all getting ready to go to Iraq. Everyone's going to do something.
Everyone's nervous.
That they've always wanted to do, kind of. So I don't really blame them.
We're thinking we're going to die soon. So
oh, yeah. And at this point in time, our company was the only company to not get in trouble for anything.
Anything.
Pretty much, yeah. So we're the star company. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we're thinking, like, everything's clear. All of a sudden, fucking. And then, like, the whole company's in the clamshells, chilling, relaxing at this time. All of a sudden, our first sergeant... Yeah, most of the higher ups were outside. There's a couple of NCOs inside. And then all of a sudden, First Sergeant Trill comes storming in the door.
No, first it was Lieutenant. They looked like Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
First Sergeant came in and was like, everyone get up.
Yeah.
He's like, you heard your First Sergeant. Everyone needs to get up.
It's like, dude. First Sergeant's probably like, what the hell are you doing?
Like, come back. Are you finished?
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, he got us in formation, and he was like, Griff!
Oh, God.
He gets me in front of formation. He's like, Griff, tell him what the hell you did this weekend!
Oh, boy.
And earlier that day, I had lost my room key to my barracks. And I was like, damn, this dude's tripping over a room key? So he's like, tell him what you did today, this weekend, or whatever. I was like,
I lost my room key. It's like, nope.
This motherfucker right here.
This motherfucker.
Cocaine.
This motherfucker.
How many of y'all knew about that? It's like, what?
Oh my god, dude. Dude, everyone's face is dropped. Dude, everyone else's face dropped because I'm looking at everyone's face. Because I see everyone like looking at First Sergeant Sherelle, and I'm over here, and all of a sudden they look at me and they're like, they're just like, oh shit. And I was probably looking back like, oh, fuck.
You wish you could just disappear?
I was like, Sean said everything was clear.
You want to just run away at that
point? And the next thing I know, all I remember is First Sergeant say, NCOs! It's like, close these doors and smoke everybody!
That they close the doors.
Dude, and then like...
So there's no ventilation.
So there's no ventilation, and you have 50 or 60 soldiers?
Stomp, running in place.
Push-ups, sit-ups.
Breathing this dust
in.
Halfway in... Well, they switched. They gave me a saw. Mm-hmm. I had to switch my M16.
Yeah, you had to hold it above your head, didn't you?
No, I had to get in the flutter kick position, do flutter kicks, and hold my weapon up. And I remember, I swear to God, it was 6 or 7 fucking NCOs around me. Like in a movie, in basic training or some shit. I'm looking up, and all these motherfuckers, who was with you? What were you doing, you fucking idiot? Yeah. You goddamn drug addict? Yeah. I'm just like, holy fucking shit. And I'm like trying to breathe, because all the dust was on the ground, on the lower level.
Like the
bottom. And I was just rolling back. And then next thing you know, I get up, and I'm facing everybody. Next thing I know, King just passes out. Dies. He just dies. Just
eyes roll back boom, his head.
Right on the ground.
Starts to reverse, like, get a medic. Then,
like, three NCOs jump on him.
Well, he saved us. He really wasn't even
He did. That's when the NCOs were like, whoa, dude, these motherfuckers are dying.
Yeah. Let's calm down.
Well, King goes into seizure mode.
I'm gonna keep going.
He starts being goofy as hell.
He gets back up, and he starts running back in place. And they're like, no, get down.
Take all the stuff off. He thought they were trying to rape him.
Yeah. They were say that?
Yeah. Later? He was like, kick him, like, no! No rape! No rape!
That is pretty funny.
No, from Charlie Company came in to give him an idea. Sergeant Rivers like, get the fuck out of here! He's like, just stick him, man. The guy turns around and is like, you do it. And leaves.
So Sergeant Rivera is trying to help King, who had a seizure.
Yeah. Well, that was his soldier.
And he pissed off the medic, and the medic tosses him the IV, says, here, you fucking do it.
Yeah.
And leaves King on the ground.
Since we're all qualified to give people shots.
Oh, and then I threw up afterwards, and I felt really bad.
Well, me and you went through the medic course together.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck you, and you stuck me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
That was the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Dude, I didn't realize. It's so easy, dude.
Yeah.
We learned that shit in 2 weeks, bro. Nurses go through that
course.
That's
what I'm saying.
Like,
everyone's like, yeah, I want to be a nurse. Like, I used to be, like, really good people shots.
Basic.
But
phlebotomist is what it's called. The people who take, the nurses who just take blood.
Yeah.
Like, well, we kind of went off the Iraq thing, so I'm just going to go ahead and take a quick break here.
Whoop.
See ya.
Seeing yourself.
It's the regular podcast show with CJ Elliott, and I'm here with my friend and former Army comrade, served overseas together, Will Griffin. And he has some ideas on saving the planet. Will, why don't you go ahead and take it over, introduce yourself, and tell us what you want to talk about today.
Well, thanks for having me on, CJ.
No problem, Bob.
Let's see. I am a veteran. I served 5.5 years in the Army. All of it pretty much with CJ.
Woo!
We both served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Before that, my father was in the Army, and, he was stationed in Germany with my mother, who was Korean, and I was born in Germany. Before the Berlin Wall was taken down, I was born on the West Side.
West Side?
What? And then, I traveled the world, like, to Korea, and then all over states, and then, graduated high school in Georgia. And then I joined the Army at 18. I actually recently wrote a paper about this.
Paper? You're going to school?
Yeah, I'm in college right now. But before that, I wrote a paper about my life, how I was born in Germany, a country that was split by the Cold War. And then I moved to Korea, another country that was split
that started the Cold War, and then I moved to the States, and I actually joined the army that actually had a hand in splitting or creating the Cold War, that was in the Cold War.
Yeah, I've seen it all, side of the story.
That was a part of history, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're recording
this. You need a medal just for that.
Yeah, I do. Anyways, graduated high school in Georgia, then I joined the army, went to Alaska, served Iraq, Afghanistan. When I got out of Alaska in 2010, I moved to San Diego. I've been in community college, and now I go to California State University of San Marcos.
Learning
studying global studies.
Yeah. Tell us about that. Global
oh,
studies.
Yeah. Part of the reason was that... we joined in 2000. I joined in 2004, and I got out in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And in that whole entire period, there's a lot has happened in society with technology and everything. Okay, like when I joined, YouTube didn't exist.
Yeah, no.
It didn't
YouTube.
Really come out until 2005. A lot of the iPhone, lot of things. The Razer didn't even exist.
You barely
back then.
Could text, maybe.
Yeah, the texting
cost
wasn't
you money.
Really,
it wouldn't.
It wasn't too hot back then.
Yeah.
So, but compared to 2010, when everyone's got iPhones and everyone's
information
got Facebook,
at the click of a button.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got YouTube and internet this, internet that. I felt like I fell off the face of the earth for like 5.5 years, and then came back and had to relearn how society worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're stationed in Alaska, which was a few years behind on everything.
Yeah.
And then we also went to Iraq and Afghanistan, where we had... internet speeds that would take us 10 minutes to check one MySpace message.
And we only had half an hour or we got kicked out of there.
Yeah, so that's checking three MySpace messages or email messages.
Yeah.
And then for one day.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I came back and I, you know, after getting out of the military, I had so much time on my hands. I spent a lot of time online because there's this whole fucking digital world that I've never seen before. I never got the experience.
Learning new things every day.
And part of doing that is I lost my religion completely.
I
was a Christian because, I wasn't raised Christian. My parents aren't really religious. But when I moved to Georgia when I was about 10 years old, I became a Christian, got baptized and saved and all that. Jingle jangle.
Jingle jangle.
Jingle dang. And then I tried to get my parents saved and the whole nine. I was even religious, I'd say, in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say when I got out and started learning about it and learned there's others and started educating myself and realizing what I was believing in was just one of thousands of other religions, and I had no way of proving that my religion was right, and then led me down a path. And then, it actually, you know what? I had a Christian friend that recommended a film called Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the first, it's a three series movie documentary. There's three of them.
What Zeitgeist.
But the
is.
First one is Zeitgeist. The word.
Sure.
Zeitgeist. The word is a German word, I believe, and it means basically the spirit of the times, whatever intellectual, cultural. Current of any particular time in history, that's the zeitgeist of that particular society at that time. So, like, say, in today's age, if we have a lot of consumption, this is the consuming age, that would be a zeitgeist.
That's the zeitgeist.
That's part of, so if you consume or buy anything, you're part of the zeitgeist consuming culture.
Gotcha. Interesting.
That's a way of explaining it.
So you've seen these movies, or the first one?
I saw the first one, which was all about... Well, it had a couple of different things, but it was just a performance piece, just the guy who had no copyright laws, and just put together this awesome film and showed it for free and put it online for free. And it talked a lot about a lot of pop culture things, and one of it was religion, and basically it was a debunking of Christianity, and it made a lot of sense, although a lot of it was false. But it made me to dig deeper, and I did find out a lot of information was false in there. But it did expand my knowledge, and I kind of just, at some point, after a few months of doing that, I kind of just said, you know what, I'm not going to believe in this nonsense anymore, and I'm going to
What was it in those the film that particularly changed your mind about everything that made
that,
you question?
That he was just comparing it to so many other religions.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many other religions out there that were there before. Or, like, even before Christianity, there was multiple gods.
that you would believe in, and people would think that it was ridiculous if you only believed in one God.
Yeah.
So I mean, how do you know? There's no way to really know. Mm-hmm. So why scare people? And I thought Christianity was even bad because of the whole scare tactic behind hell. Yeah. It's like I, you know what? I heard this one old guy say one time. He said, he's telling a story about a kid. It's like, you know, he's like a 5-year-old kid, and he's just playing with his little wee-wee.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what 5-year-old kid doesn't play with, doesn't play with his wee-wee at age 5 or whatever. While he was doing that, his mother's very Christian mother and says, hey, don't play with your wee-wee. You're going to go to hell. The demon gets you to start doing stuff like that, and you'll end up going to hell.
You go to hell if so, you play with your wee-wee.
Yeah, and obviously this kid's been going to church and probably was baptized as a kid, baby, you know, and he was scared. He knows about hell. He doesn't want to go there. It's the most frightening place. You know, that's the worst place you could ever imagine, and they tap into that imagination of the brain, and they just fucking manipulate it and use it against you where you're vulnerable. Anyways, and later that night, that kid ended up cutting his penis off.
Oof.
Because he didn't want to go to hell, because it messed his psyche up in his brain. But I mean, I don't know if it's true. The old man said it was true. I haven't really looked into it. But
he
kind
of made his own hell by cutting off his dick. And now he's stuck in.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Yeah.
But it's a good point, dude. Yeah, about is. How definitely. It can be it could be a form of child abuse.
Anyway, so you watched the first.
So movie. I was really against religion and all that. And I wanted to change,
to save the world,
and I wanted to change, and I wanted to dig deeper into this new world of technology. And I found a way to do it. The scientific method basically is what we used to do as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
If you play a game, you just press button, see what happens.
Yeah,
change your you modify what your behavior, and you try it again. You see the results. You modify your behavior again. Yeah,
failures.
Exactly. It's like playing, and then you keep doing it. So that's what I kept doing, but I kept doing it with more research. And then finally, after 2 years of general education, I found global studies at my school. Ooh. And at that same time, I found out about Zeitgeist 2 and Zeitgeist 3, which was completely different than Part 1. And because Part 1 has... Because after Part 2 was made and Part 3... Actually, after Part 3 was made, Zeitgeist Movement was created.
Mm-hmm.
But the first Zeitgeist has nothing to do with the Zeitgeist Movement. Hmm. It's all about Part 2 and Part 3, which introduces the ideas behind the Venus Project, which was created by this 97-year-old right now.
Hmm. Old guy, huh?
Yeah, he's 97 years old right now. And he created the Venus Project, and it's like thevenusproject.com.
Now you got the Venus.
It's really a way of thinking by definition. But he talks about how this is his proposition for the future of how. Oh yeah, his solution. This is his solution to solve all of basically global issues. In today's world,
like what?
Poverty, war, hunger, starvation, and one of the main themes along the solution is to get rid of the monetary system, the whole entire political system, include more science, automate everything, which includes more technology, and which creates abundance. You can narrow it down into two ideas, basically two things that needs to happen that he's proposing. One is that we need to integrate the scientific method, science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is to change our social value system.
Right.
That's basically two broad ways of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, this dude's been talking about this stuff since the 70s. He was on the Larry King show in like 1974.
Been around the block.
It's like on the YouTube channel, mm-hmm. on the YouTube somewhere, YouTube website somewhere. But he's been talking about these ideas for a while, and like I think the only reason it's catching on is because of Peter Joseph's Zeitgeist series, which talks about it, and then the internet, which can be spread. You don't have to like.
Oh yeah, and also it's a very good idea for everyone who's interested in the planet.
But yeah, once you, but the more you dig, it's like it's so much.
there's so much to say about it, and what, the more you learn about it, the more you realize why the world is the way it is today.
Right.
And it only makes you think more and more, and if you're willing to dig more and more for more information, then I'm sure you're going to reach a point where you're just going to have to keep asking for more, even more information, and try to take action after doing right. that. Because I think after reaching a certain point, you're just like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is kind of like, okay, for one example about that is like seeing how efficient these cities that Jacques Fresco, the creator of the Venus Project, has created.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I see how cities could be, I realize how inefficient our cities are today, which is fucking horrible.
Right.
Which is really fucking horrible.
It's kind of hard to change them at like a mass level, though. It'd have to be very small changes at a time, or
yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, so basically, I just want to say that as a veteran who's probably been who has been to Iraq and Afghanistan, which I would consider the end product of competition, I would say like it was a good. And then after realizing, you know, especially with the Iraq War, that we were just completely tricked into war.
Yeah, it's all mind fuckery.
Which helped me lose all trust in government. And then other experiences that led me to all trust in the medical field, and almost in the food industry, and then just a lot of things in society. And it just mm-hmm. makes me wonder, like, what's the root cause? What's the root reason why everything I'm learning about that I was taught as a kid was so great? Why am I
now learning
now realizing how evil this is? How yeah. bad it is.
You wonder
is.
How they can, why they can go this long with it being so corrupt. Why yeah. can't they have just fixed it from the beginning? Why has it gotten this bad? It's
exactly. And I think everybody's starting to realize that.
Yeah, with now the internet and everyone can exactly. talk to everyone. The information's right there. And
it's definitely exposed, a lot more exposed to in today's world.
Right.
But, oh, yeah, and then the Zeitgeist Movement, it just kind of just explains that. It's an awareness group, really. Mm-hmm. It's a sustainability advocacy group, a global one. It just exposes these the root causes and root symptoms in society, the problems with it, and the solutions, and it has solutions. The Zeitgeist is really, the movement is, like, really a decentralized group of people that it's not even a group of people, it's not even an institution, it's like a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You constantly updating whatever.
That's like your main thing, the Zeitgeist.
So yeah, exactly. That's you're acknowledging the current Zeitgeist mm-hmm. culturally, intellectually, economically, politically, whatever, and you're trying to update okay. it. That's kind of like the idea behind it. That's mm-hmm. a good way of explaining it. The kind of economy it advocates is called a resource-based economy. And
resource-based economy.
Resource-based economy.
Resource-based economy.
All right. Anyway. I just want to read the definition that they put on their website, the Venus Project.
All right.
It says, it is a holistic socio-economic system in which all goods and services are available without the use of money, credits, barter, or any other system of debt or servitude. All systems become the all resources become the common heritage of all the inhabitants, not just a select few. Basically, in a resource-based economy, you wouldn't have a monetary system, and it wouldn't be built off of scarcity, which is the type of system we have today, because we have this huge value system. If it's the less number of items or whatever you have, the more value it is. Which is generally the rule, the rule of thumb, but when you have new designs, new technologies, new sciences that can create abundance, it changes everything.
It's like we're all stuck in the past and afraid to move forward with new thinking and new ideas. It's just
yeah, exactly.
Just something holding us back in the old ways.
Exactly. So why keep that way? It's because that type of environment creates who the type of people we are, mm-hmm. the type of zombies we are today walking around.
We need to be more polite, better zombies, is what you
said. Yeah, exactly. But the zombies we have today is because of how the system works. It's,
yeah.
There's only a few of these iPhones, and, you know, each since we only going to make this many, we're going to charge them $400 fucking dollars.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you know, giving everyone. Well, I don't know. You wouldn't. But you wouldn't make. But also, here's the thing: in a resource-based economy, it's like there's so many. I'm sure there's so many. I don't know. Do you have any questions about it?
Well, people, you're thinking like resource-based economy. They don't even really know what's that mean. Like plants is your economy. You're selling plants, bartering that for goods, or
no? Okay, so I'm trying to start with a broad definition and narrow it down. So a broad definition is from our, you know, you have to compare it to our economy because it's the only thing we know.
Right, and we use money. That's our main. Yeah, that's it's what like, you would call your money, yeah, monetary or whatever.
A good metaphor is like when a fish is in water, like they really don't have any concept of air because they're just in water their whole lives.
Mm.
Just like we're in the monetary system our whole lives. Yeah, we have no concept system. Of what else, yeah. Anything else is. But the basic thing is that right now we work off a system of scarcity. And the resource-based economy works off a system of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now we have 7 billion people on Earth, and we have plenty of food. We have plenty of Earth surface that's fertile, that you can grow land. You have clean land and or clean air, and you could make it cleaner. I mean, we're obviously destroying it right now, but... I don't know where I was going to go with that. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, abundance. So that's the thing that changes everything. Because if you put a person in... Okay, so my example is if you have 5 people and 1 banana, what's everyone going to be thinking about?
That banana?
That 1 banana. Because mm-hmm. there's 5 fucking people and 1 right. fucking banana. It's not going to feed everyone. What if you have 5 people and 100 bananas? What's everyone not thinking about?
Bananas.
Bananas. They have right. plenty of it. See, it changes the whole human psyche about mm-hmm. it. What if you lived in a world where food was just abundant, security was abundant, love and
where
compassion was abundant.
People to do what they're meant here to do kind of thing without worry of their basic necessities.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so abundant. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of
so cool. You would like, yeah, you kind of go back to being a kid and think about what you really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have...
mentally having a kid, not worrying about yeah. anything except for what you're here on this earth to do kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing holding you back would be a way of designing whatever you wanted to build or create or whatever instead of, you know, having enough money to do it and time to do it because, you know. Well, think about it. Humans have been... Okay, let's say humans have even started, you know, from year zero and it's been, you know, 2013 years now, right? Don't you think humans should not be working fucking 5 days a week?
Being miserable as they are?
No, but seriously, no. As far as working and being productive, yeah, yeah. seeing all the technology today, why are we still working 5 fucking days a week out of 7?
We shouldn't be working at all. At this point, we should have machines
exactly.
doing work for
I
us.
I mean, like, yeah, exactly.
Us just basically. Enjoying the labors of what we've created as a society.
Exactly. So, like, so basically, in the future, say you do live in a resource-based economy, what would you do is you would be creative, and you would learn, and you would be educated, and you would experience, and you would do, like, what if, so, like, and then, some people would be get pissed off, say, well, people would be just lazy if they didn't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
But one argument I came up with, because it actually happened in a class, I was talking to somebody. They're talking about, the guy just wants to sit down and play video games all fucking day long, man. He's like, what do you do with those guys? I'm like, dude. I was like, honestly.
Video game tester.
I'm like, honestly, would the video game guy, the video game player, would he be sitting there playing video games if he had the chance to actually go to China where he's always really wanted to go and study the birds there that he's always really
and
wanted
really
to study?
He really wanted to be a jet ski racer.
Or if he really wanted to be a jet ski, you think he'd be playing
yeah, exactly.
fucking video No, he's playing
he'd be
video
doing
games.
What he wanted to do.
Because he doesn't have enough money to do the stuff right. he wants to do, and then he has to wake up, he go to sleep on time to wake up on it. Certain time to go to a place he doesn't want to be to work for a person he doesn't
fucking
like.
What about the horrible jobs like scooping up poop and all that?
Everything would be automated. Is our plumbing system not automated already? Really?
Right. I'm just trying to think
and then
of more
like,
horrible
okay,
jobs.
So,
like,
okay,
no one is equal.
Okay, so think about it. If you didn't have a job, or if you did have a job, it'd be like 2 hours a week. But say you didn't have a job. Well, you would be more concerned about your own house, right? You would maybe even build your own house because you would have more time to do it and you had more access to these technologies to build it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now we have technology that's capable of a huge, basically a really huge 3D printer system that
yeah.
can build a house.
Do anything you want.
Build a house in less than 20 hours
mm-hmm.
with all the plumbing and electrical gear within it. So you're already eliminating the whole construction industry where when it takes, what, like 20 men to build like a huge house in like 6 months?
Why is that a good thing?
That's a good thing. That's all that energy and resources you don't need to use anymore. And you could build a house a day, one house a day yeah, with one printer. And you could build more than one printer. And what if you get a, you know, you just share this printer, dude, and be like, all right, I just want to design my own house. Mm-hmm. And then you would design your own house. And then, like, you could design your own plumbing, which would be automated, dude. Sorry. It probably sounded loud on the microphone.
That's fine. Boom. And we're taking a break.
Be your slave.
We're back at the regular show with Willie G. Chino. So, part two with the interview. Go ahead, tell us what you're talking about.
What was I talking about?
I don't know. It's wax it in a bowl later.
Waxing. Brazilian waxing.
We did some Brazilian waxing while we're gone. Looking mighty fine.
Ready for Africa.
We're getting ready for our trip we're going to in Africa.
Ghana. Visit Darko's grandma.
Mm-hmm. Go elephant hunting. Distort the tusks. The
whale hunting.
Yeah.
I want to shoot me a rock.
You want to see the rock naked? You're disgusting. That's what you think about. Anyway, we were talking about how to save the world one step at a time. One thing you can do is to recycle.
Oh, recycling bullshit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's only to make you feel good, which is actually worse because you're helping the current economy kind of like exist, which it kind of sucks. So the whole point of our economy right now is to consume and throw away, consume and throw away, consume and throw away.
Mm-hmm. The more
you consume, the more growth we have, mm-hmm, the more GDP grows, right?
And GMOs.
So really, what's the point of recycling?
Save the environment.
It doesn't save the environment. Our whole point of our economy is destroy and use and consume.
Well, what if you recycle something?
And then
something?
It's based on finite resources that are very limited. So why create an economy on a planet that doesn't have...
But what if you recycle an old can into a pen holder? That's not waste.
Yeah, that would be cool. If you, then you would waste the pen holder, right?
How are you wasting the pen holder?
The pen holder is probably made to be wasted anyways.
Huh.
It's not made to be, it's not made to last in the first place. It's not made to be sustainable in the first place. A lot of the products, 90% of the products we use aren't made to be sustainable.
What about that cool movie theater we went to?
Yeah, that was pretty close.
With the seats. Electronic reclining seats.
Reclining seats, little lamps, menus, buttons for waiters and waitresses.
Mm-hmm.
I saw mainly waiters.
Bring you
dudes.
Fucking heroin.
What's
if
up,
you want
man?
It on the menu. Anything you want.
Sup, you want a gram of cocaine?
Crank, Coca-Cola. You got it.
Two hookers on the way.
On the way. And they'll stroke your cock.
No hookers, just strippers? Okay.
Yeah.
They're married? Okay.
That was a cool deal. $20, though. It was a little spendy.
I wish the screen was a little bit better. But I thought it was pretty nice, but I knew it could be better. I almost thought it was a big-ass projector.
How about that edible?
I mean,
fuck you up.
Not really. I can't tell. I'm not really fancy.
You're past that.
I don't fancy the edibles.
Your endeavor.
Yeah. I just like to use and abuse.
Use and abuse. All right. This podcast
is
going great.
You're the one fucking controlling it, goddammit. Take hold. Take the reins.
Taking notes. I'm taking the reins.
Fucking guide this goddamn
train.
We're
guiding it. We're training it. We're obtaining positive energy.
Yeah, it is. It's a good way to record the stupid conversations we have.
Yeah.
It expresses our imaginary side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That is very more extreme than a regular civilian.
So I've been to California since Tuesday. It's now Friday. I've been to two dog
places.
Beaches. Two dog beaches? Or is that just one?
No, two.
Two, see?
For sure.
Two beaches.
Yeah, one was an island.
Yeah, so that's cool. Saw a movie. I walked on a cool bridge.
Went on top of a mountain. Double peak.
With double peak with ball. Smoked a fucking fat, juicy, just dripping with pussy it. Juice, the whole nine yards.
A bit juicy.
Fuck yeah.
And, but we got a weekend coming up.
Mm-hmm. Going to SeaWorld?
After this podcast, I'm going to take you to the beach to watch the sunset. Run around in the sand and play Frisbee.
Frisbee.
And then come home, eat dinner, and maybe go watch a movie tonight. And then, tomorrow, we're going to wake up early and go have a good breakfast at Sweet Home. Our home sweet home.
Waking up at 10:30 is not early.
No, I'm waking up. You're early. Your time early. It's 7 o'clock early.
Let's just watch another fucking Stone Cold documentary and call it.
And then, we're also doing a cruise tomorrow, but I think we're going to try to do something before the cruise. And then we're going to go out to eat for dinner. And then we're going to go watch the sunset again, but we're going to go to the lighthouse on Point Loma, which is like, there's like this peninsula that sticks out into the ocean, mm-hmm. and at the very end there's a lighthouse. So you're like off of the land, kind of like an island, but you're really attached, so it makes it like a peninsula. It's like an arm of the U.S.
Cool.
The arm of San Diego sticking out of land.
Sounds really thrilling.
Well, if you brought enough fucking money, we'd be going skydiving, parachuting, and hot ballooning, hot air ballooning, and the first few days, you just wanted to smoke, so don't sit there and blame me.
I don't do what you think I
do. God damn it, dude. I thought you were serious about this podcast, but now...
Anyways!
It's not going anywhere.
I don't know where to go.
You're supposed to. I thought you did.
I don't have notes this time. It's just
you know where to go. You just don't want to, or too scared to, or something.
Too scared to what?
Maybe you don't want to. So I want to go there. Step over to the next step. Ask me some questions. I'm your guest. Treat me.
Treat you?
Treat me.
What is it like?
Or get information out of me, or something.
What's it like to be in a relationship with an illegal?
I don't know. I've never been in a relationship with an illegal.
What about a hooker?
An illegal what?
What about a stripper?
I've had strip dances before. But I think what the fuck are they called?
Lap dances?
No, the places they strip at.
Strip clubs?
I think strip clubs are a waste of time and money.
You never dated a stripper?
Such a tease. No, of course not. But I know someone who has.
Yeah,
he talked about how they cummed on their tits right before they went to work.
Cool.
Which they worked at a strip club and rubbed their titties all over other people's faces. Which was just covered up with her boyfriend's cum. And she didn't take a shower.
Cool. In any way.
Yummy. Some delicious news.
Yeah. Straight from the horse's mouth. Excuse me. What do you think about the Boston bombings?
Obama was behind it.
He did it himself, personally.
Sneaking in the fucking marathons around and shit. Suit.
Playing basketball on the side.
Fucking African Muslim. Born in
He's
Ohio.
He's going to hear this podcast.
Born in Ohio. State resident.
I'm sending this right to his door. President. First class UPS mail.
Well, it's not his fault. The economy's going to fucking crash anyways. So whoever was in this position, they would just hate that guy.
Very positive person. William Griff here. Podcasting away.
That just makes sense. Just makes sense. Whoever is in this position. I mean, he might be making it worse. I don't know, but either way, it's just. The system's kind of like it's failing. It's like,
aren't they all just puppets?
Dude, I mean, okay, so here's one statistic that's real. 50% of the world lives on $2.50 a day.
You can buy a burger.
That's 50% of the world that's in poverty.
It's a happy meal.
So literally, like, if you're in the middle class in America, you're literally in the top 1 billion of the world. Possibly the top 1 million. Or the top 100 million, at least.
Think about it that way.
I'm trying.
Mind blown.
I'm trying to comprehend. Boom, lasso.
I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going.
Yeah. How about the Snowden guy?
I saw this poster on social media websites. It had a picture of him, and it just had some words in front of his face or whatever, and it said, had a $200,000 job, had a model as a girlfriend, had an awesome house in Hawaii, gave it all up to tell the public the truth. So he already worked for NSA, and he made $200,000 a year, and he had a really hot girlfriend. And he had to leave all that behind because he knew... I mean, he's smart enough. He knew he had to leave all that behind. And he left it all behind because he wanted the people to know. Pretty interesting fact. Fact.
Would you punch...
What do you think about it? What do you think about it?
I was going to ask you something about punching. What do I think about it? Well, we're going to have to take a break.
No. What do you think about it?
What were we talking about? The Snowden guy?
Yeah, dude, you didn't listen to shit I said. Oh my god. You know what? After a month when you're sober and then you listen to these things, I hope you understand. The future Elliot is listening to this?
Yeah.
Fuck you!
Fuck you, future Elliot. Cocksucker.
When you're sober and coherent.
But isn't that going to be the better one?
And this coherent.
You're actually calling me the cocksucker?
Well, no, I'm calling Edward Snowden cocksucker because he betrayed the U.S. government, the almighty government of the world.
Okay.
Praise Allah. Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
No, this is about pick up trash.
Are you serious? It's probably the only two things you know how to say.
Figgy.
Hello, how are you? I'm good. How are you?
Hey, pick up
trash. Pick up trash.
Hey, that's what my job was.
How do you say it?
Elga Zavale.
El?
Elga.
Gizavale?
Zavale.
Elga Zavale?
Yeah.
Elga Zavale?
Elga Zavale.
Salam alaikum. Elga Zavale. Yeah.
There you go. Now you too can tell local national Iraqi children how to pick up trash.
I don't remember. I tried to be nice with them. I just didn't want to search them because I knew they were really...
Stinky.
Yeah.
People doing credit
kinda
card me, swipes and
kinda
stuff.
Made
it's
me realize,
disgusting.
Kind of made me realize, see in person, how bad the human body could actually exist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even girls too, man. It's like... Actually, there's no Haji women that worked there, right? It was all males.
Mm-hmm.
But even soldiers, though.
Never had to search any chicks, really.
Just man, your pussy is probably...
But as far as... If army girls were that bad, then Haji girls had to be even worse.
I was like, and then, like, if you have sex after work, dude, in a port-a-john, like, you have one, you're having sex in a port-a-john. Two, you just got off work. Three, you're in the middle of the desert that you're not conditioned to. Your body is already
sweaty and nasty.
Yeah, has reached this limit. Yelling and far, and then you're gonna poke something else in there.
Someone else is contaminated.
In the port-a-john, that's even worse.
Port-a-john disease infected.
Get where I'm going with this. All right, turn it off. Let's go to the beach.
Going to the beach.
Since you don't want to answer the question, what do you think about Edward Snowden? What do you think about Edward Snowden?
Let me turn it off.
What do you think about Edward Snowden?
It's getting all crazy.
What do you think about Edward Snowden? Just say it first.
Edward Snowden. He shouldn't have leaked that information.
He shouldn't? Why?
Traitor to the United States government. He needs to be put to death, in my opinion. Hung in front of a live audience.
For the 9-year-olds or younger.
Fox television. 9 or under must be forced to watch with toothpicks plugged
with
into
their eyes.
Eyelids
open. Yes. Taped open.
That's what I think. Guys,
I'm glad you're so confident. That's what I think.
Well, you asked.
Anything else? That's not enough.
That's it.
That's not enough.
They stabbed the entire cast of 300 and their spears after he's hung.
Take turns stabbing.
Spear by spear.
They have to line up.
Yes. That's what I think. USA.
You know what? Why don't you just have a podcast of you and Corey just talking shit like that and recording it, dude?
Yeah.
Think about it, future Elliot.
All right.
Future Peace, Elliot. Nigga.
Yeah.
My niggas.
All right, so that was my very first podcast. I hope you enjoy it. I know that last part got a little bit immature, but hey, what are you going to do? It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs, so I decided to throw that last part in there. I wanted to give thanks to Paul Neely and William Griffin for being on my podcast. It was, like I said, a lot of fun, and it was a blast visiting in San Diego. Great, great place. Sunny, warm, nice. Everyone's in a great mood and really nice. We noticed walking around everyone at their jobs, like even at the supermarkets, they're super smiley and friendly. It just must be the sun. That's what I think. Well, anyway, thanks for listening. And if you liked it, listen to the next one. I'll be doing the next one soon, I hope, with my buddy Corey Ryder. Yeah, so look forward to that one. All right. CJ Elliott with the Regular Podcast. Out.